Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast on a Wednesday morning. I am John Ledyard, one of your beloved hosts from over at FanRagSports.com, where I cover the NFL and the NFL Draft. And I'm joined by the illustrious Dr. Trevor Sikkema. My intros for you get better every time.
The adjectives, they just keep building up. I'm a fan of it, though. You got to tune in like every episode to see what adjective it's going to be today.
That's right.
I'm a fan of it.
Trevor covers the Bucks for the PewterReport.com, so he's familiar with covering a struggling losing team. And today today we're gonna talk about,
take a shot at the kicking game all you want.
I can't even, that's me, true, yes. Trevor's actually a better kicker than Nick Folk.
I actually have the video to prove that I can be more consistent than us.
I honestly wonder this, because I think kicking is like such a head game thing. I wonder if you could have made any of the kicks that Folk missed the other night.
I wonder that too.
Do you think, what was the
31 yards?
Yeah, 31 yarder. What did you hit that one in the video from?
That's like 35, and I hit it by like 5 yards.
Yeah, you banged that sucker. That was pretty good. I don't know. I think you honestly might be better than Nick.
I think I could do it. And if I did, if I just hit one kick in the NFL, the helmet's coming off.
I'm getting
the penalty.
For sure.
I'm basically doing like the Russell Westbrook hit a 3-pointer celebration where I'm poofing the smoke out of the guns and putting them back in the holster. That's my moment.
The best kicker celebration of all time was when the North Carolina kicker beat Florida State last year.
Oh, yeah.
And he did the Seminole chop to all the Florida State fans as he ran around the field with his helmet off. I was like,
you're speaking my love language right there.
Oh, my gosh. It's one of the best moments I've ever seen in my life. I loved it. Today we are talking about college football midseason all draft eligible team. This is something that the team over at NDT Scouting.com, where I do a lot of my writing, and where Trevor's good friends with a lot of those guys. We've come kind of given our teams compiled in the votes, how they meet it out basically determines what the all draft eligible team. So make sure you're looking out for that at ndtscouting.com. But Trevor and I decided to give our teams today to you individually, so you know who we think should be the top guys. And we'll start with the quarterback position, Trevor, and I'll lob it to you generously for the first dissertation on the 2017 college football midseason all draft eligible team, the first ever on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast.
Yeah, we're making history right here. All right. So my quarterback that I'm going to pick is the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, and that is Lamar Jackson. And going into the year, Lamar was viewed as the most dynamic prospect that there was. This is the guy who plays the position that touches the ball the most. He's one of the most athletic people on the field, no matter what field that he's on. And the thing with him is, you just wanted to see him clean up part of his passing game, because we know how good he can be as a runner. I just got to pause real quick and make sure that I emphasize that, because I think that as time goes by, not only just in this stance, but like in other stances, even with all kinds of sports, we kind of get spoiled with greatness. It's crazy how good Lamar Jackson is at running the ball.
Yeah,
like how quick he decides when to cut, where to go, how to find open space, how to move by defenders. If a running back showed those kind of traits, we would literally be talking about one of the top speed back, scat backs in the draft.
And he hardly ever takes a big shot. He hardly ever gets hit square or anything. So you worry about his size, but A, you put on weight, and B, he's hardly ever getting clocked because he's so elusive.
So, and the thing about with Lamar is that if you watch him play and you watch him pass, the dude can put some zip on the ball. He has you know, I don't even know if it's low key anymore, but a lot of people thought that it was low key because he was so skinny last year. A really strong arm, can really push the ball down the field and even get some zip on passes where he needs to. The thing with him is just kind of the accuracy, being poised in the pocket, and then coming into this year, the reason why he is my number one guy is because I think that he has improved in both of those areas. Maybe not where it needs to be, certainly. He needs to continue on the track to get better and better at it. But there's no doubt in my mind that Lamar Jackson is a better passer and just as good of a runner and a dynamic threat as he was last year. And so for that reason, you know, if we're talking about the Heisman Trophy winner last year, the best player in the country, how can you not pick a guy like that when he has improved in some of the little areas that you have asked of him? Now, I know your guy is a little bit different. You were going to give a shout out to Lamar as well, and your guy is actually who my backup guy was, and my guy is who your backup guy is. So right. Go ahead, you can fire away with your quarterback.
Yeah, I think that you said that really well, that Lamar has improved, and I think that's clear, and that's the biggest thing. And that's both of these guys that are on my list, and Baker Mayfield's my quarterback. To me, of the guys that we kind of talked about in that top 10, these are the draft eligible quarterbacks that are going to be the top guys, that group of 8 to 10, whatever it was, Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson are the two guys that have clearly improved this season from where they were a year ago. And I already thought Baker Mayfield was pretty solid. Now I'm even more sold on Jackson because I think he has taken the biggest leap forward. Now, I do think Jackson still struggles with some accuracy issues, especially outside the numbers. He is good down in between the hashes, but outside the numbers, there does tend to be a big drop off. And I've got to really study him closely to see why that is and how much that could affect him. But I think he's improved tremendously to the point where I was like, you know, he might be a mid round pick, and now I'd be really comfortable with him on day two. I don't know where I'm at with any of these quarterbacks. I don't know if I'm round one with any of these quarterbacks right now, but Baker Mayfield to me is the guy that I've been most impressed with, because it's so rare to see a quarterback that plays that can play out of structure as much as Mayfield does, that can thrive in the midst of chaos as much as Mayfield does, yet still be incredibly accurate to all levels of the field, still has enough arm to work the short to intermediate areas. I know he's not a big arm, deep threat type of guy, but he's a quick processor. I think that he could thrive in like a West Coast offense that throws in some vertical concepts here and again as well. And so I just think he's really established himself as a legit quarterback option. I know the size concerns and the arm strength concerns will get to some people. I think Baker Mayfield's a legit option at quarterback in the NFL, and I think he should be at least a day two pick the way that I see him right now.
All right.
Running back.
I mean, the one guy that both of us have to have on our list, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Bryce Love. It has to. I mean, the guy, he is averaging 10.5 yards per carry. It's unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, going into the year, I thought that Bryce Love was going to be like a nice back. Like I thought he was kind of like an all around back, but I didn't see like really. I didn't think that he was going to be this elite at this many different categories. And holy cow, man, his balance, the balance that he has is the most impressive thing to me. Mm-hmm. Is that he's able to do these things that we saw. And I think I said this in an earlier show, maybe a couple weeks ago, that when I watched Alvin Kamara play the most. I guess eye-popping trait for me with Kamara was how balanced he was and how he was able to stay up and bounce off tackles and have a great center of gravity. I think this is an underrated part about playing running back, is having a good center of gravity, because, you know, we like these guys who are either like short or like tall, and we like to get almost like mad scientist-y with some of these running backs and these freaks of nature athletically. But Bryce Love seems to have a great center of gravity, and because of that, we see him bounce off tackles, have tons of yards after contact, and you don't get to the 1,200-yard mark just six games in if you don't have a lot of yards after contact. Mm-hmm. So Bryce Love is one of those guys. He just has a ton of yards after contact. So he is one of my guys on my running back list. And then the other guy, I mean, it has to be Saquon Barkley. There are so many guys that I could list off that I've been really impressed with. I could shout out John Kelly from Tennessee, Ronald Jones. I loved what Mark Walton was doing. But those two guys are at the top. Rashard Penny's another one. So, but those are my two guys that are at the top. So it kind of has to be Barkley and Love, and even though a lot of other guys are doing really well too.
Yeah, people have heard me talk kind of extensively about Barkley and Love, but Rashad Penny is for real, and I don't know if we've given him enough love. And he's in my honorable mentions. I agree with you on the top two guys. But Penny's in my honorable mentions right now. 5'9.5", 220 pounds. He runs with reckless power, but he has legit burst and acceleration as well. He is extremely intriguing to me. I'm very, very curious to watch him and to get to really study him. I've seen him live a couple times now, been really impressed. I'm really pumped to study him up and see, you know, what do his traits translate really well to the NFL. And then Ronald Jones, the other guy. I think Ronald Jones looks so much more explosive and fast than this year than he has in the past.
It's so crazy, man. I love it. I love it because I love that style of running back. But
somebody was comparing him to, I think it was Mark Dalgerian. On Twitter was comparing him to Melvin Gordon. I think Jones might be even more explosive.
I think so. I think he's a little less powerful, a little more explosive.
We can't get
caught up in the dreadlocks comparison, and I say that 25s,
aren't they both number 25?
I think Gordon's 28 in the NFL.
I mean, in the college, he was 25.
He might have been 25. I'm not sure.
Because it was the same as Jamal Charles, and everybody said he was like Jamal.
Jamal Charles, 25. That's my thing too. Like, if you have the same number and the same hairstyle, I'm almost like, yep, it's got to be this guy. Right. Like, and so
it's so true, man. If we fall into somebody was saying Bradley Chubb and Derek Barnett because they're both big and they're basically the same height and weight, and Chubb wears number 9 as well. So it was like, I got by the number thing. But it's funny. It's funny how we fall into that. But those two guys, among a ton of backs, have been the most impressive in my opinion.
You've watched some of Miles Gaskin, haven't you?
Yeah, he's good too.
I just got to catch a little bit of last weekend's Washington game, and I got to see Gaskins and Pettis a little bit. Really, for the first time, I was watching them live. And I mean, you like him? Is he? He's kind of your guy.
Yeah, he's very good. Will he be a high-end traits guy? You know, I don't know. He's an all-around guy. I think he can help a team. He can be a number two back. I have to watch more to see, you know, do I really think he can, because he is smaller, but he runs with such power for his size. I'm trying to think of a guy that I would compare him to. I don't have a really good comparison off the top of my head, and I don't want to push one. So, but he is a very good college running back. Does he have the traits to be a very good NFL running back, or is he just – because I think he can definitely play in the league. Where somebody like Colorado's Phillip Lindsay, I have my doubts. I know he's a great college player. Everybody loves him, you know, heart and soul type of guy, but I'm just not sure he has enough to play in the NFL. So
I am so disappointed that we don't get to see Mark Walton again this year.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Is he a senior too?
No, he's a junior.
Okay, so he'll be back.
But, dude, we're talking just like explosiveness, right, man. Mark Walton. Yeah. Is stupid fast. Him and Travis Etienne from Clemson might be like the two running backs that I would be like, you're not catching either of those guys. Ronald Jones too. That would probably be my like top
three. Steven Carr, like, the other USC back. My goodness.
Yeah, man. Oh, jeez.
I am on the USC Utah athletes scouting this weekend for NDT scouting. So
there you go.
That's my game to watch. So I am really looking forward to seeing those guys and Sam Darnold and my top receivers as we move to the receiver portion, Deontay Burnett from USC and James Washington from Oklahoma State. Washington is produced. It's insane. You can't ignore it when you're picking a team like this. I still am not sure about how his traits project to the NFL. He is, I mentioned the other day, Harold Landry was going to be a tough evaluation for me defensively. James Washington's a tough evaluation for me because I just don't see great traits or size, and I think he's a little inconsistent in the air, but he makes so many freaking plays, it's hard to ignore that. So he's going to be a tough evaluation for me. But Burnett has been unbelievable, and I know he's really slight in his build. That's going to be concerning to people. There's going to be some comparison to Aguilar, honestly, probably in that way, and Marcus Lee in that way. It's weird how USC has all these receivers that are so similarly sized and built and have a lot of the same tendencies. But Burnett, man, his ability to lay out for catches in the air, his ball skills are incredible at his size. He's not afraid to go over the middle. He's not afraid to play in traffic at all. I have just been so impressed with him and his route running and his explosiveness. I do worry about the size a little bit because I think he is like 180 pounds or something like that. That's going to be something that teams are going to have to evaluate, and maybe he'll have to bulk up. But I've been really impressed with what I've seen. The honorable mention guys, Anthony Miller from Memphis has been unbelievable. We don't talk about him enough, probably. He looks like he could be a slot or outside guy, have that versatility to play both. I'm so impressed with him and his route running and ability after the catch. And Dante Pettis from Washington, one of the probably the best route runner in this class, I think, and also has really underrated ball skills. Been really impressed with him, too.
Yeah, just to because there's a good amount of wide receivers, like there are running backs that we can mention. James Washington has to be in my list, too. You know, you just look at the guy who's averaging the second most yards per game in all the NCAA. He's got 5 touchdowns already. He's just a guy that whether you know what to do with him or not, kind of the production is really hard to ignore. I think that he shows a decent amount of traits, but he is a tricky evaluation. I think I'm a little bit higher on him than you are, but so be it. Cam Phillips is another one of my guys that I'm going to have on this list. He's from Virginia Tech. He's a senior. He has been their go-to big play guy. When they need a third down to convert, it's Cam Phillips. When they need a pass of more than 40 yards, it's Cam Phillips. When they need something in the red zone, it's Cam Phillips. He has been their all-around weapon at wide receiver, no matter where they are in the field. And when you can have success in kind of an age of specialization where we're getting to see wide receivers who are either speed demons who stretch the field or red zone targets or short yardage kind of wide receivers, when you can really be a guy who has success anywhere on the field, I think I value that. And so Cam Phillips is a guy who I see as somebody who can be a wide receiver who produces all over the field. And then my honorable mention guy, I'm going to go with Jaleel Scott from New Mexico State. Okay.
Wow.
He's got 35 catches, over 500 yards, 5 touchdowns, but like the dude is 6'6". I've already heard some rumblings, from NFL draft people, the guys over at FanRag Sports, a couple of them are some of the people who are getting to get Jaleel Scott's name out there a little bit to take a little bit better look at him. But man, when you have a guy who is 6'6", who has the hands that he does, I mean, you can only ignore him for so long.
Right.
And so he's a senior. So this is his last year. And we'll see if the production, playing on New Mexico State, it's not really, it's not a high profile school. So we'll have to see how much we get out of him in terms of notoriety and highlights. But he already has what might be the up for catch of the year. You could take a look at that. I think they were playing Arizona State and he had this monster one handed catch in the end zone. And just, stuff like that. When you have the body frame that he does and the ability and even just the flashes of plays like that, you have to take notice, because if you can get that, depending on how often you can get things like that, you could be talking about a special kind of mismatch player in a certain area of the field. So kind of went all over the place with that one. We had a production player for me. We had an all over the field kind of player. And then we had a specialized player. So those are my three guys that I would pick for my all wide receiver team right now.
I don't know anything about Jaleel Scott, so I am excited to hear that name and excited to check him out.
I will tag you in the one handed catch after this.
Tag me, at me, slide into the DMs.
And you can take a look at it for yourself.
Tight end. This was a tough one because there are only 4 tight ends in the top 120 receivers in college football in terms of rank by receiving yards. There are only 4 tight ends in that group. That's it.
Sad.
Everybody else is a wide receiver or running back. And so, again, college football doesn't really use the tight end position that much. One of those guys is Jalen Samuels, who was hard to put on this list not because he isn't good, just because he's not really – he's kind of like a running back. He's kind of like a wide out. He's kind of like a tight end. He's not going to be a tight end in the NFL, but he does a little bit of everything for North Carolina State. So my guys were Mark Andrews and from Oklahoma, who was my number one tight end mm-hmm. coming into the year. He only has 19 catches, but he's averaging like 18 yards a catch. So he's still like that vertical threat type tight end that I love.
It's the Oklahoma offense, It's just kind of the way it
is. Yeah, and he's a good route runner and has good athleticism too for this position. And Caleb Wilson from UCLA is another guy that made my list. And he's a redshirt sophomore. And he had, like, I think 200 yards receiving in their first game of the season against Texas A&M. He's continued to produce, not at that rate, obviously, but continued to produce moving forward. He's a big-bodied threat at the position. I don't know how athletic or fast he is at this point, but he's a guy that when I scouted UCLA, he caught my eye right away. He is draft eligible. Doubt he declares this year unless maybe everybody goes for UCLA. If he does, I think he's very intriguing because it's a weak tight end class more than likely, and he's a big-bodied guy that I think could have some success at the next level.
Andrews is on my list as well. He's one of my tight ends. You know, it's just hard to do with the lack of tight end production. I'd love to mention Fumagalli. I think Fumagalli is a great prospect, but he's just, you know, hasn't played a lot. So, you know, hasn't played as much as we've wanted him to. And so my second guy is actually a player that I had on my tight end list going into the season, and that's Adam Brenneman for UMass. Now, he's – how about this now? He's five games in. He has 500 receiving yards. That means he is averaging on the dot 100 yards receiving per game. That's pretty impressive that he got that on the dot there. He's got two touchdowns for himself. He's just another guy. He's almost like – I got to be careful how I say this. Because I was going to say like value-mealed Mark Andrews because he's like Mark Andrews – like he's Mark Andrews-ish. But you can get him on day three or like late day two of the draft instead of like maybe picking him in the top 50. Like you're probably going to have to with Andrews. So like Brenneman gives you a lot of the same things that Andrews does. I don't think he's as athlete as Andrews is. That's probably why Andrews would get picked higher. But like this guy's got plenty of production and you could get plenty out of him and he might be the better value pick for the type of talent that you're getting. So those would be my two guys for the tight end position.
I just saw, by the way, that Caleb Wilson did have surgery a couple days ago, and he will be out for the rest of the season. So big bummer there for him.
Well, rip.
That just happened. Yeah, he had played up until this past game, which was what I'd seen. And so big bummer for him, but that probably confirms he definitely will be back for UCLA. So that's good news for them. So, yeah, Brenneman, great choice by you, I think. We move to the offensive line portion of this. We have to mention our good friends over at ProFootballFocus.com, our boys, because the Pro Football Focus Edge subscription is something that you have an opportunity to get, and a lot of cool stuff comes with that. All you have to do is go to our iTunes page and leave us a review on Locked On NFL Draft. Leave us a review and a rating. Put your Twitter handle in there, and you can have access to the Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. We're picking one winner per show per week. So you guys could enter your stuff or throw that stuff in the review. Make sure you include your Twitter handle so they can find you and let you know if you've been selected. But the Edge subscription comes with all kinds of cool stuff. And one of those cool things is statistics on a lot of these. The draft guide has a lot of statistics on these college football players that are really, really interesting. And one of the big areas, as a guy who, you know, when you're watching a game, it's sometimes hard to pick out offensive line play. It gives you a lot of stats on the offensive line. And so my two tackles were largely because I did get to watch these two guys and I was impressed and I heard good things from people I trust. But then when I went to Pro Football Focus and checked it out, I saw that those thoughts that I had were kind of confirmed in Chukwuma Okorafor from Western Michigan, who has a lot of the size and traits to be a really good tackle prospect. And then also in Orlando Brown from Oklahoma, neither of those guys have allowed a sack this season. And Okorafor's allowed one hit on the quarterback. Brown has allowed one hurry, one total pressure each. That's it that they've allowed so far this season. So their pass blocking efficiency for Pro Football Focus is at a 99.4, each of them. So they have been money in the bank in terms of pass protection. Yes, I think there's things in the run game that both of them can work on. But if I'm evaluating offensive tackles, I really do value pass protection in such a pass-heavy league. I think you've got to be able to do it at a high level. And right now, those two have impressed the most, where other guys like Mike McGlinchey and Mitch Hyatt have had some ups and downs in that area and represent more concerns to me. And, of course, we lost Connor Williams for at least an extended period of time to an injury a couple weeks ago. So those are my two tackles right now. I also had Quentin Nelson in there as a guard. He has also been a beast. And then Will Hernandez has given up nothing this season from UTEP. He's a guy we haven't really talked about. He's getting a lot of buzz and hype right now. I've seen a little bit of like a highlight reel and some clips people posted. Been super impressed with the main moves and the nastiness which he plays with. So he's a guy I'm going to have to delve into a lot more. And then Frank Ragnow from Arkansas. I don't know if you've seen any of him, Trev. He's a physical guy.
You told me about him.
Yeah, in the offseason, I wasn't totally sure because I said I'd watch that game after his dad passed away and that left him, and he wasn't very good in that game. But I think that obviously dealing with a ton in that game, and I think that may have influenced the way that he played a little bit in that game. And then the rest of the games that I watched, he was better and better, and he had a really good game actually against Florida last year. So he's a guy that's really intriguing to me, and I think he's played really well so far this season when I've watched Arkansas. And again, it is a little bit tough to do offensive line in season and kind of see where those guys are at, but he's a guy that's impressive.
I'm letting you handle the offensive line there because I would be doing a disservice to the people who are listening just because I have not watched nearly enough of detailed college football to know, and you're a better O-line guy than I am anyways. But hey, real quick, are you at your computer?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go to Twitter.
Okay, Twitter.
Open up your DM. I sent you the Jewel Scott catch.
Okay. You want my reaction live on the pod?
I want you to watch it and then tell me what you think. This is the guy that I was talking about. As a guy who could be a major kind of like red zone threat.
Okay.
Want to hear what your thoughts are.
Throws it up. Oh, my. Holy crap. He, like, floated in the air.
Yeah, that's a 6'6", dude.
He, like, pumped his arm to keep himself in the air. He, like, wound it and, like, pushed down on the air to, like,
he might have the gift of flight. He might have the gift of flight.
He honestly might. So. That would be a pretty good asset. On your scouting report.
So that's what I'm saying.
You
know,
runs
that's
a 4.540.
If you got a guy who can do something like that.
Has the gift of flight. Yeah. No, that's good stuff. Yeah, that's a money catch.
There you go. Impressive. That's a
I was surprised your boy Auden Tate didn't make the list. I thought that was
I know.
Dude.
I wish. Yeah, I know. Auden Tate, you know, Auden Tate's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to say, you know, usage has been, you know, certainly down because of the way that their quarterback is playing right now, right. And understandably, as a true freshman, you know, if DeAndre Francois were back there, I think Auden Tate would still for sure be in my top three because I do think he's super talented. And just because he's not on my list right here does not mean that I have swayed away from what I think of him as a prospect.
Right.
I'm just, you know, I'm trying to highlight guys who, you know, are having more of the production side of things here midseason who deserve to be recognized as, you know, maybe guys that we weren't talking about before or just deserve some good praise for how they're doing because production does matter in college. It's not a one-in-one translation, of course, but you definitely got to praise the guys who are dominating the competition that they're currently at, and you see how that translates to the other side. Right. So there you go.
Tomorrow we've got defense, the defensive side of the first annual ever Locked On NFL Draft College Football Midseason All Draft Eligible Team 2017 version.
I don't think you need to say first and ever.
I think you have to say both, just to be clear. I want us to be clear.
All right.
You know, I just want to communicate things clearly to the audience. We've got the defensive side of the ball.
The first annual ever yearly.
The first there ever annual yearly inaugural 2017 college football midseason all draft eligible team.
There you go.
Tomorrow we got the defensive
side. Headlines.
Tomorrow we do defense. I am really, really excited actually for tomorrow because there's a lot of names that we haven't talked about that much that I feel like we focus on offense when we do the pod a lot. So tomorrow will be a great chance to just get to the defensive side of the ball, talk about some of these guys, talk about why we like them, what positions are weak. I've got some positional classes on the defensive side to rip on right now with the way they've played at least early on in college football. And one of them is going to be safety because it ain't pretty. So we'll talk about all that tomorrow. We've got really good stuff coming up on the show for you guys. And then wrap things up for the week with a Fan Friday. And good stuff, get you previewed up and ready for this weekend, both of college football and of getting ready to watch rookies go to work on Sunday. So, that's it, I think, from us. I think that's it. It's time to wrap it up. Trevor, do you want to close this out? I feel like you never get to say goodbye to the fans. I always just kind of talk right over your goodbyes.
Goodbye, fans.
Great stuff from Trevor. Until next time, folks, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.
Hi, you've reached the high fashion hotline.
Hi, I make sure my family's always stylish, and all I want in return are those three little words.
Thank you, Mom.
Nope.
All on sale?
Yes.
Go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, get 30% off your entire purchase at Old Navy's thank you event.
30% off everything? Even jeans, sweaters, and jackets?
30% off all of it. And Old Navy card members get 40% off at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
I heard that.
High fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10/11 to 10/15. Excludes in-store clearance, gift cards, register lane items, jewelry today only, and two-day only deals. 40% off are subject to credit approval. See stores for details and exclusions.